Happy New Year. What year is it? Just checking. Last year went so fast that I was still in 2016. I appreciate you moving up front. It reminds me of a story one time, moving closer. There was a preacher up in Shamrock, Texas. You know where Shamrock, Texas is? He's a Methodist preacher, a little small church. And he was preaching, and they were televising it. They were recording it to put it on the television, you know, in the afternoon afterwards. You know, they had closed circuit and so like that. And so the preacher did well and everything in the service. And he went back to the hotel, turned it on, and kind of was surfing around. And there it was. It was on television. He was preaching. And the way the camera was situated, it showed the first six rows of pews where nobody was sitting. And he thought, you know, people watching this probably would say, ooh, how sad. Nobody was there. So I'm glad that you went from your regular pew and came up closer. I'm Ronnie Holloman. I'm Sherry's brother-in-law, better looking than her husband, as you might know, of course. But are there announcements that we need to make at this time? Glad you're here. This is January the 1st, so you're in good stead to begin with. You are here worshiping, so you did not calculate it wrong. So greetings to you. I thank Darlene for being our lay reader, and I'm glad to be here today.
The light of God's promises has shone upon us. Carry that light into the world. When we have met God in the light, we cannot dwell comfortably in the shadows. The glory of God shines on you today. Others will see your radiance and rejoice with you. As forgiven and forgiving people, may we go to God asking for mercy and trusting in His pardon as we pray together. O God, our God,
who wants you to start to lead people to Christ, we confess our poor sins of direction. We let ourselves become confused, easily distracted, and lose our way. We fail to follow the signs you provide. Forgive our ignorance, O God. Lead us to Christ so that we can follow His way to you. Amen.
The light of Christ has come, and it has erased the darkness. In that light, we can walk and work and believe that we are loved by God and called to God's service. This is our shining news of hope. Thanks be to God. With me. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephra, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Great kings who journey from the bar.
And again, God's people said, amen. Thank you, Fred and choir. Our New Testament text is the gospel reading for this day. Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. You will recognize the story. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
was a very familiar story, wasn't it?
In the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, the kings are not mentioned anywhere else. And yet, how we tell the story is not quite accurate as what we have read this morning. Did you notice? For example, we say that there are three kings. However, the Bible doesn't say that there are three kings, just says that there are three gifts. And we think, well, one per person, okay, three. It had to be three kings. And we do not know who these wise men are. We don't know where they came from, just from the east. For we call them kings, but they probably were not kings. Can you imagine three kings leaving their nations and traveling for however many days to find and pay homage to another king of another nation? It doesn't say that they're kings. They're actually magi, which is wise men. Over against wise guys. They're wise men. And we don't have names for them. I think it was Longfellow, wasn't it, that gave them names? Well, ordinarily, you notice we include the wise men in our nativity scenes. Have you noticed that? But according to the text in Matthew, when the wise men arrived, Jesus and the family were living in a house. They weren't living in the manger with shepherds and animals. They were living in a house. We do know that when the three wise men left and went back home, that King Herod ordered the killing of the Bethlehem boys of 2 years and younger. You see how we tell the story, and actually in the Bible it's a little bit different. We do know that the Magi had some sort of mystical connection. They were astrologers, they were astronomers, they were teachers, and they paid attention to dreams. For it was in a dream that they knew that not to go back to King Herod, go another way. We also know that the Magi were students of the other religions like Judaism because they were following, and somehow they discovered there would be a star that would follow and lead them to the place of Messiah, a newborn king. But it really wasn't the Magi that proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah. Did you notice who surmised that in our story? A strange character, King Herod. Well, it makes me wonder why this story is in the Gospel of Matthew. Why is this story so important to the gospel? Good news. Do you have any ideas? Well, it could be about the star. It could be about the wise men. It could be about the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It could be about the dream that told the Magi to go home another way. And although there is no mention of God in this story, there is no mention of angels in this story, we get the idea that all of these things go together for one point. And I offer that one point, that God is come. God has become flesh to live among us. This could be Matthew's version of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the 14th verse, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. How was that? Well, you see, there was a story about him being born in a manger. traditionally, 12 days after Christmas is Epiphany, January the 6th. That's typically the day that most people take down their Christmas trees. Have you taken down your Christmas tree yet at your house? Okay, wait until Epiphany. You don't have to put it back up. No, you don't have to. No, just wait until Epiphany, because that is the celebration of the wise men coming. And in some countries, that's actually Christmas. That's actually the manifestation. The word Epiphany means manifestation, the unveiling, the shouting out, the proclamation that God has come in flesh. It is announced to the world that God has come. Epiphany is the shouting and the showing to all of the inhabitants of the earth that God has become flesh and has, according to Peterson in the Message, has set up his tent in our neighborhood. You see, it's a celebration of the incarnation. God becoming flesh, human. The incarnation of God in human form is most difficult to understand and embrace as a God-given gift to humanity. How can that possibly be? We often state that we believe it, but we can't come close to explaining it. And it's not so much explaining it that is important as it is participating in the incarnation of God now in our life. God came in flesh. His name was Jesus. God's love came in flesh so that we might see and touch and experience what God's love really is like. I think the amazing point of the story is that the Magi become participants with God to deliver the gifts of goodness and love to the world, to all of the world, to you and me. It's not so much the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh that are important, and it's not so much the star, and it's not so much his star. What I find amazing is that these wise men left their country, invested their life and their time and their most precious gifts to follow, to have faith in a God that they probably did not even know the name. It's a story of faith. It's a story of faith in God's presence, a story in God's of faith in God's love, eternally to eternally, infinite to infinite, before and after, Omega, Alpha, beginning and end. And we are participants in this faith if we believe this. You know, God comes to us. We've experienced God's love. Even in the midst of uncertainty in our lives, even in the midst of the lack of safety, the lack of guarantees, the lack of understanding, we can't say we understand everything there is, but still we participate and experience in God's love. And God has come and given us this. We participate in faith. We become gifts of incarnation to people who intersect our lives. You might say that we are incarnations of God's love. You ever thought of yourself as being incarnate of love? Regifted gifts of love? We are loved. We are loved by one another. We are loved by God, and in turn, we regift that love to others. You see, I'm a big believer in God positioning people for the sake of good, for the sake of building up humanity, of restoring
creation and humanity and creatures. I think God is about restoration. Throughout my life, God has positioned people to be epiphanies to me, to show me God's love. I try to make it a practice to pause and think, especially around this day, to simply pause and think about those who have intersected my pathway, who have loved me when I was unlovable. Have you ever been there before? And someone really has loved you. Oh my goodness. And give God thanks. Do you know who those folks are in your life that have intersected your life with love? You may be sitting with some of them. Where you could honestly say, wow, that's God's love. Individually and corporately, God places people to intersect our lives, to love us, to build us up. And in turn, God sends us out as individuals, but also as the body of Christ in order to reconnect others in love. The weapon that we have, if you want to call it a weapon, the gift that we have that will change the world is the love that has been given to you and you have received from God in Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the world, to restore it to a place of creation. You and I are here in this place at this time by God's providence in order to experience God's great plan of restoring love relationships, even beyond our imagining. There are people in our congregations, there are people in our families, there are people that we intersect in life that need God's love from you. Sometimes you are the only one that has the opportunity and the potential to love someone that really needs loving. Today will never happen again. Look around you. And I'm not just saying that you move forward in your pews. That may never happen again either. It won't happen the same way. This day, you and me. And yet there will be another connecting of people in the incarnation of love, perhaps even later today. You and I have been chosen. We have been incarnated with God's love through Jesus Christ to participate in God's positioning throughout our lives. You will encounter God's love with people who intersect your life. You have to watch for that. You have to pay attention because it comes quickly. And also, those people will experience the love of God in your life. You have to pay attention and know who you are. You are loved. Together, God positions us to become the incarnate love to others who intersect our lives daily, and it happens. Therefore, this morning, as we come to the table of our Lord, we not only remember the incarnation of love in God in Jesus, who is the Christ, but we become most profoundly the body of Christ. The physical expression of God's love to the world. At this table, we profess that God's love is present, that God's love is manifested through God's people, through you, through me. We manifest that we are God's love in flesh and blood in the world, that God loves so much. So when we come to the table in a few moments, we will become the body of Christ. We will become the enfleshment of God's love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand as we say what we believe using the Nicene Creed.
We believe in the name of the Father, the Lord, the Creator of heaven, and all that sees Jesus. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternally God and the Father, God and the Father, light and light, true God and true God, begotten.
Be seated. Instead of gold and frankincense and myrrh, we bring to God the treasures He has first given us, hearts, minds, and bodies. May these and the offerings of our resources be used to tell of God's living light of hope in Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
May we pray. As we offer our gifts, O gracious God, we offer the greatest gift that we have received, and that is your love. We share it with one another. We share it with others. We share it through the giving of our gifts, our gold and frankincense and myrrh. Send us forth to be gifts to the world that lack love and goodness. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus' love knows no bound. We are invited as guests to come just as we are to this feast. Forgiven sinners, ready to be strengthened by this bread and by this cup. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for making your love evident since the very beginning of time. When you spoke the word which replaced the darkness of chaos with life-giving light, a light which has nurtured generations of people and plants and creatures, great and small, a light which also revealed the fear and powerlessness caused by corrupt and evil actions. And so you spoke the word which would once and for all dispel the darkness of chaotic lives. Through your love for the world, the word became flesh and lived among us full of grace and truth. The angels caroled glory to you in the highest heavens and peace to all people on earth. And we join with them and with all people to praise your holy name.
Holy God, as the travelers with their treasures were overwhelmed with joy on finding Jesus, so we also are overwhelmed on finding out the depth of his love for us. For Jesus showed just how beloved we are to him by loving us and giving himself for us. We bless you for Jesus, who through his life, death, and resurrection fully lived the promise of redemptive wholeness offered for all who would be obedient to your creating will. It is with awe and wonder that we proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Thank you.
Now send the Holy Spirit and its power upon these gifts of bread and cup, that we may experience the presence of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Breathe your Spirit in us that we may be one body with Him, living out His love in the world today and every day. Lord of bright and abiding light of love, You have shown us in the person of Jesus, Your Son, a new way to live. You have poured Your light of love into the world and have asked us to live in this love rather than run and hide in the darkness of doubt and despair. You promise to love us all of our days and ask us to place our trust in You. The journey of love is risky. It means that we will have to be very serious about our service to You, giving You our best and offering hope and love to others. In this new year, we bring to You the names and situations of others for whom the light of love seems to be a stranger. They struggle with ill health, economic hardship, broken and damaged relationships, loss of loved ones, anxiety. We place them in Your care. Let Your light love shine on them, bringing healing and hope. Help us to be bearers of that light love in all that we do. For we pray in the name of Jesus, saying together, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
On the night of Passover, Jesus gathered His disciples together, and He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He said, This is My body. It is broken for you. Take and eat. After the same manner also, He took the cup, and when He had supped, He said, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. All of you, drink of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show the Lord's death and resurrection until He comes again. The gifts for the people of God. The feast of God.
Thank you.
God,
we give you thanks for the fellowship
we have experienced at your table. We give you our gratitude.
The light of love has come into our midst, has come into each one of us. We have received it, and now we give it. So go forth into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Honor all people. And rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us now and forever.